but she wants to be sure. Yes, it's that familiar sound, 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, June 24th, 2001. Your favorite Bathrobes Pierre's Broadside, Civil Rights for You, Me, and Everybody We Can See. 2.5 hours of chat, talk, tapes, and who knows, maybe a song or two. Stay with us.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker, Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe.
Start the fire, but here we are getting all burned out, burned up, and hosed away. Now, or is it the state parks that's getting hosed away? Anyway, it's fire and water, water and fire, and where there's smoke, there is fire. I'm hearing a lot of crackle on the. Not sure what that's all about. Hope we're actually getting out. It's not crackle, that's tape recorders rewinding. Yes, you get to hear the raw product here at Free Radio Santa Cruz with Bathrobes Pierre, Robert Norse. In my grip, or nearly in my grip, or perhaps just out of my grip, is we have a guest who'll be coming on in a few minutes after an initial segment that's taped, which I think you'll find interesting too. This is Rebecca, a paralegal person who is helping Camp Paradise. That's the camp down on the River San Lorenzo. You've heard of the bridge over the River Kwai. Well, this is the camp along the River San Lorenzo, a clean and sober, neat and tidy campground that the city, Fitzmaurice's folly is what I call this foolishness by the city, is trying to destroy and plans to eliminate, according to Deputy Chief Locke of our fine police department, by July 1st, even though there's no place for the 20 or 30 people who are at this campground, have been living productively, peacefully, and apparently with full cooperation, interaction with the neighborhood, including the cemetery they're near, for the last couple of months. And they had a fine shindig yesterday, which I took some tape of, and I'll be playing later in the show. Before we do that, however, although perhaps maybe I should do that first, if the tape were queued up, we would do that first. But here you are, another example of the kind of fine preparedness that is so much the hallmark of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. What I am prepared to give you right now is really a continuation of what we were discussing in our last Thursday show, which you may have been tuned to, or perhaps you missed, tisk tisk, if you did. The issue of discrimination against people with different lifestyles at or near the farmer's market. That's the open-air market, supposedly open to the public, but wait till you hear this interview with Janet of the farmer's market, which happens every Wednesday from, I think it's 2:30 or so to 6 or 7 or thereabouts. In the past, probably a lot of you listeners know, there's been drumming and kind of political tables along the side of the sidewalk along Cedar Street, right across from the Red Church, and there's been kind of a friendly interchange and singing some guitarists and so forth. Well, now, thanks to pressure from the Downtown Association and reportedly David Plumley's flower shop on the corner up there, the police department and perhaps even the city council, there is this supposed threat to the farmers market to revoke their permit or get them to move. And this has caused a few insiders in the farmers market board of directors of the more right-wing perspective to start fencing off the areas where previously the tables were put with a kind of an orange mesh, calling the police and the inimitable Sergeant Butchie Baker to patrol the sidewalks, take names, and cause, consternation among those who had thought there was a First Amendment still in Santa Cruz on the public sidewalks. Little do they know. As well as to demand that the drummers not only vacate the grass on the church, which they traditionally have been playing on for months and years, actually. David Jones, you should be ashamed of yourself. That's the pastor of the Red Church. But also be gone from the entire area, that somehow this disturbs the businesses or it disturbs some of the folks in the farmers market. Well, let's hear some interviews about this. You'll hear me in my usual fashion, ranting away and trying to get the issue out, actually, is what I'm trying to do, just like I'm doing right now. This interview speaks for itself. We're also going to hear, as I said, Rebecca, a horsewoman, and actually we'll turn on her mic so she can introduce herself. Say hello, Rebecca, just belly up to the mic there.
Hi, my name's Horsewoman.
A horsewoman,
and
yes.
I'm a paralegal and chaplain through my church, certified chaplain through my church. And I'm going to let the public know about how I became homeless pretty soon.
You also perhaps will say a few words of support for the fine Camp Paradise that kind of drew you to this. That's how we met at Camp Paradise, right?
Yes.
Plus, you've
yes.
been a member of CHAM or associated with some of their protests, the Community Homeless Alliance Ministry of San Jose.
Right. Down there on 5th Street in Santa Clara in downtown San Jose, Mayor Ron Gonzalez wants to spend $132 million building a new city hall when we don't need a new city hall, and that's a lot of money wasted on a project like that. They could be taking care of the homeless down there.
And they, in fact, want to build.
And the repressed and oppressed down there. And the women and children.
They want to build that city hall, as I understand it, Rebecca, by destroying housing that already exists on that site.
Correct. And what they're going to do is they're going to move the old Victorian homes that have been there for 20, 30, 40 years. They're going to move them in the near future here if they haven't already done it.
And what you and CHAM did through a series of protests, demonstrations, marches, meetings with the mayor is you actually, a number of you were arrested on April 6th, if I'm not mistaken, or
correct,
thereabouts.
Correct. That was our last big protest was Friday, April the 6th.
You occupied that Victorian, right? That those houses in order to draw attention to the fact that...
No, we didn't occupy them. We wanted to, we had the protest so that we could get the city to okay opening up the homes and allowing the homeless women and the homeless children and the homeless men to go in and occupy those homes until they start building.
Where were you arrested?
Because they're just sitting there
where,
vacantly.
Where
well, I wasn't arrested.
Where were they? Where were they arrested?
In one of the Victorian.
That's
homes
what I mean
itself.
By occupy. In other words, you went inside and you occupied.
Right,
they
we
occupied
broke
them.
In and they, Michael and they, O'Toole was there mm-hmm. from Sacramento, and Reverend Scott Wagers was there, and they were arrested with San Jose State University
and nobody
students,
told.
Santa Clara University students, and everyone was arrested.
Nobody told Uncle Robert Norris, or perhaps he would have been there too, because a year ago I was in on two of those busts, one at City Hall and one in the mayor's office, as we again attempted to get this Gonzalez goon, who masquerades as a Latino, to actually do something for poor people and homeless people. Really hard to get these hacks to do diddly squat. As we can see here in Santa Cruz from the actions of the shitty council, who, by the way, whose meeting is coming up on Tuesday. I unfortunately wasn't able to get everything I wanted off the internet for this information, so if anybody actually has internet access and wants to give us a report on what's coming up on Tuesday, I know there is a return of the Dolphin Lee Dumbo project, the jumbo expenditure of money that will destroy all affordable housing, deplete all affordable housing funding for the next at least 5 years. I'm told it's even longer, in order to create less housing than it currently exists and essentially create another class of refugees, Latino refugees in the beach flats, in order to save them. You know, we had to destroy the village to save it. You heard that one before? You know, remember that one? Anyway, that's what they're doing here in Santa Cruz. They pick up those old excuses. You thought they were anti-war protesters. No, they're the new administration. Want to meet LBJ 2001? Check out the Santa Cruz City Council. Anyway, all this was an introduction of Rebecca. You can see how far afield I find myself wandering. And actually what I was talking about before, and I will be getting into right now, is the farmers market and the attempt by bureaucrats and the board of directors of the farmers market. Specifically, I had a conversation with a woman named Janet, and you'll be able to hear her giving her thoughts on the issue, her perspective, and then denouncing me, and then trying to have me arrested. It all went on. It was kind of funny. But anyway, it'll all come out for you. It wouldn't be so funny if it didn't mean that police weren't it didn't indicate that police were harassing people, which unfortunately it does down at the farmers market, and that people are being denied basic rights because of some sort of merchant pressure from a few conservative merchants. Instead of there being a council to work things out, some mediation process, some conflict resolution, it's the usual exercise of naked power. Naked police power, naked city council power. Naked, naked, naked. In fact, we probably should all go naked at the farmer's market next Wednesday. I'll do it if you will, folks. Let's hear from you. How about a naked protest at the farmer's market to show these folks, well, to expose the situation more fully? I mean, the weather is warm, the time is right, my belly's a little big for this, and I'm a little old, but hey, you get to see my goodies. Let's show the farmer's market what we think. Not the farmer's market, because the farmers are actually fine people, but the people who are running the farmer's market suggest that it might be time to should we say, uncover the truth. Anyway, let's hear what actually happened at the farmer's market last Wednesday, and here's some tape on that subject, and then we're going to get Rebecca, if she's patient enough to sit through this stuff, to give us some information about Paradise. She's already talked about San Jose a little bit, and she's going to tell you her own story of how she became homeless, and a story that is intimately involved with the public guardian here in Santa Cruz. Oops, I'm sorry, Santa Clara. Thank you for the correction. Sorry, they're Public Guardian Santa Cruz, no offense meant. But, you know, I'll give you some idea what's going on one county away. Santa Clara County is the county that houses San Jose. So stay tuned. Let's hear a little bit about the farmer's market now.
Well, it's about 4 o'clock, a little bit after. We're at the farmer's market on the sidewalk, and we're observing a police officer, are these people blocking the sidewalk? I may have to call the police to complain about all of you blocking the sidewalk. Have you had any harassment from police officers today?
Not today.
Excellent. Now, was there a problem before?
There has been problems before.
What was this about?
Sitting on the sidewalk.
Were you doing the same thing you're doing now?
Yeah.
And officers told you you couldn't do it?
Yeah.
Well, what's this all about? Why was it?
I don't know. My hub. It has something to do with us drumming, playing music.
They kicked us off the grass today.
I've been cursing out all of them this last week because they've been trying to push people around and having these vendors that are coming in from the other side of the valley having all the weight around here. As if they're the ones that are complaining, and even the merchants that are even unaware that the locals are the ones that support them around here.
Now, what is your name?
Cynthia Quick.
Cynthia.
And I've been calling City Council as well as Chamber of Commerce, as well as police, as well as Downtown Association, all the rest. And I'm sick and tired of all their shitting around on people around here.
Well said.
I've been around here for 25 years or longer, and it's been a humane, more spiritual community. I don't want them to fuck up by any greed or any manipulation.
Now, what's happened today, Cynthia, in your view? How have things gone today?
I don't like the ways they've been fucking people over the parks, as well as the river and the downtown, as well as downtown. Everywhere.
Any attacks on the Camp Paradise?
Yes. And it's like, I mean, I've got a home.
Right.
But I've got a heart, too.
Well, you're a little unusual in that regard.
And I'm humane, and I'm a healer, and it's like, I'm a psychic, you know, I'm attuned to collective, and it's like, I'm very in touch with all these issues. And I've been the one bringing them up to City Council as well as Chamber of Commerce and Downtown Association and all the rest.
Well, we hope you come to the Camp Paradise meeting. There's a Camp Paradise organizing meeting, 6 o'clock on Friday. Come on down to Camp Paradise.
Where?
At Camp Paradise.
Okay. I've been there. It's in the cemetery.
It's right below the cemetery. Actually, very nicely done. There's also a Huff meeting at 8:30 on Friday morning at Baker's Square on Ocean Street. Would you like another hug? Are you okay?
Do you have a wife named Nancy?
I do not.
Okay.
I'm not a married man.
Okay,
but
I didn't think so. There was
I tend
a Nancy
to treat
Norris.
Every woman I meet as a potential.
I didn't think so, but there was a Nancy Norris.
A
I didn't know
it.
If there's any connection
no.
or not.
No,
but
no
anyway,
kidding.
I know you're a good soul, a good old soul around here.
Oh,
and we've needed you for a long time.
Well,
but I mean, I've been more of a healer and a psychic, and I don't like even ways they're fucking up too many people. It's the economy, man. It's not the people.
You got it.
They've got to be realistic. and not be messing over people for their stupid, economy that's stuck up so much reality around here. And they've got to be perspective and objective to realizing it's the economy and not the people.
I have to agree with you. Thank you.
Do you guys know what time it is?
But anyway.
Now, do you have any comments about what happened today, earlier today?
What happened today?
Well, didn't you say that they drove people off?
Yeah, they just made us leave. I think it's just something to do with that article, obviously, last week.
Are we talking about the church?
The church, yeah. Well, the cops came and just told us to leave.
And how many were you?
There's like five of us or something.
And you were, what, molesting the grass?
Yeah, we were groping the grass.
Groping the grass?
Yeah, we were being perverted.
Ooh, grass. Inside a camera.
Grass monkeys.
Could be exciting, man.
No, but...
When was this?
This was earlier. I don't know, I think they should just accept the fact that they label us as hippies and... Really, we're just people that just want to play music and gather.
Conversations with Satya Baba.
Satya Sai Baba.
You're walking barefoot, and of course, do I get a hug?
Of course.
Yeah, well,
this is a great folk.
Bless your heart. Bless all our hearts.
Well, bless your body as well. So, anything else that you want free radio people to know aside from what beautiful eyes you have? Of course, you got to see it here.
The teeth you have.
Teeth look good too.
I love Santa Cruz. I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And you think, various areas.
Bye, Santa Cruz.
Now, are you two leaving Santa Cruz?
We're going to the Rainbow Gathering.
Well, say hello from Uncle Robert, or Bathrobes Pierre, as I call myself. And give me another hug.
Okay.
It looks a little more sparse down here than 2 weeks ago when farmers market people were concerned, farmers market counterculture people were concerned that they were being driven away. There's a juggler. Hi, folks smiling. There's a certain scurrilous type of individual wandering around carrying a box. Your name, sir?
My name is Roland.
And Roland, just what do you mean by carrying an empty box here in the farmers market?
I'm going to fill it up.
Indeed. Well, you see, there you are. I don't know what to do with these people. We're talking to No Guns.
She lied.
So wait a minute, No Guns. Are you saying that you've had some...
I'm assuming that the new manager lied to me.
Of the farmer's market?
Yes.
And what happened here?
Well, basically, she said I couldn't be at my spot because the police needed the sidewalk not to be... blocked, but I really think that this is coming from the farmers themselves, that they've called in the police, not that the police have decided that my table is a problem.
Now, your table is all of what? 1 foot by 1 foot, or a foot and a half by
quite
a foot and a half?
Small.
And you yourself are a diminutive stature.
Yes. In fact, I even side with the farmers on many issues, so I was surprised. I think if she had been honest with me and just said, hey, look, the farmers don't want any of you here any longer. Could you move down to that other lot? I would have continued to spend my $25 to $30 a week at the farmers market. But I think it was a lie, I'm assuming. I could be wrong. Someone could find out the truth for me, and then maybe I would shop. But it seems like it was a lie.
Well, I think that there wasn't a long interview I overheard about 2 weeks ago between a member of the Farmers Market's board of directors and an individual concerned about the harassment of counterculture people. And this guy was recording this man's statements and asking him questions about where does this new policy coming from, and he was saying, well, the drummers are causing some local businesses some concerns and some farmers market vendors. So I went to the different vendors and asked them, are you concerned about, let's say, people blocking the sidewalk or about drumming that's too loud or musicians playing guitars or the vicious No Guns and her sewing activities, which are pretty sinister shit, you know. And what I got was the answer generally, huh? And then there was one merchant did say, well, the drumming bothers me. So I haven't yet...
You think I shouldn't really penalize all my favorite farmers?
Well, the board of directors, as usual, I think, is, shall we say, being influenced. I suspect that the police department and some of the conservative members of the board of directors may have come to some conclusions on their own. Again, I'm speculating. I don't know. I'm not on the interior. But if I get more information from the...
Please inform me, because I will refrain from shopping at this market. And not that they're going to miss my $25 or $30.
But we all miss your company, no doubt.
If you do compound it, you know, and you think that I'm a vocal one, so I might say something, whereas a lot of people might just decide they're not coming, it'll be easier to just go to the stores.
You actually have a table that has bumper stickers that say Free Hawaii, and you actually had literature on your previous tables about different social and political concerns, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm mostly free speech. Now, I have some issue with the young people myself. That's why I had no problem with the fence coming up. For example, one day, the wild and radical new youth were out there, and someone sat next to me and was blowing cigarette smoke in my face, and I said, you know, I want you to put the cigarette out. And I actually had to fight with the young girl and grab the cigarette out of her hand.
Oh, that's sweet.
And so then the next week they came. The next week the kids came and they were like really bad. And they were saying how we don't need police because we've got Shante Sinha. But what they needed to know is that I'm the Shante Sinha too. And the kids would not listen to me. So if they won't listen to their own people, they kind of brought... Their bad behavior those couple of days are what brought the police in. That's why the fence came up. That's why the police came. It was a shouting match. It was an ugly scene. It shouldn't have happened. So when you're saying respect, 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 and you only want respect, but you don't want to give any, that's a problem. We are a village here. I need this market. I have needed it as bad as any farmer has needed this market. And if we aren't respectful with one another, we start to lose it. So I'm saying I can't put all the blame any one place, but we're all in this, and I would like to see it worked out. I'd like to shop here, but until I know more, I won't. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, No Guns, once more articulate as ever, and we may have to duel again at City Council, as so many a time we have crossed, well, verbal swords, so to speak. Anything else you want to say, No Guns, or any thoughts you want to share with the community before we move on?
Oh, just that I will be encouraging us to be as civil as we can as we fight for more freedom.
I'm good. Where's my...
Tell a little bit about your name. And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We're listening to Dialogues from the Farmers Market Wednesday last, about 4 or 5 days ago, or 2 or 3 days ago, or somewhere back there. And we're going to hear more of that. I want to make a comment about No Guns' analysis. I wasn't there to see the incident. She said she thought provoked difficulties. I actually have heard about difficulties provoked by the police. And No Guns, I have to say, although I have a lot of regard for some of her experience and some of her perspective, often tends to jump into the fray on the side of the authorities, strangely enough, in order to, it's hard to describe it, City Council, she's been notorious, for example, for opposing sometimes loud and vocal homeless activists claiming they're not civil enough, and so we've kind of had different roles, but that was her perspective. Now we're going to hear some more telling perspectives. We did get one call from a caller who said he'll give his own point of view when he calls in. In fact, we're going to do a little, actually, if anybody wants to call in right now, we'll give you a minute or two to call in and give your thoughts, and then we're going to continue with a little bit more of the farmer's market, and then Rebecca will attempt to get a word in edgewise. Good luck, Rebecca, on other matters which we've mentioned before. Free Radio Santa Cruz is what you're tuned to, 96.3 FM, the radio station that that gives a fuck, actually, and doesn't give a fuck if you talk about that on the air, even using those nasty four-letter words. Actually, it's the five-letter word that's really nasty, money. That's the word that seems to be motivating a lot of this, or possibly it's the seven-letter word, paranoia. But those are words that it's easy to say, and it's hard to do stuff about them. But yeah, you can say whatever you fucking want on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Call us at 427-3772. All right, well, let's... We're also going to be talking today about Camp Paradise. We've got extensive tapes on yesterday's barbecue shindig, which I think went off quite successfully, particularly considering there was a conflicting memorial for the deaths of longtime homeless activist workers Patty Long and Elizabeth Gipps, also a radio broadcaster off KKUP. And Patty and I used to cross swords when he was on the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Then later on we became allies as we both saw the bureaucrats dissing and downing, exploiting homeless people. Patty was on the streets of Pacific Avenue as much as I was. And he was more into the social service end of it, really providing services for homeless people of the tangible sort. Blankets, references, letters. I do some of that too, but mostly I'm essentially a voice, and I try to magnify other people's voices when they are concerned about civil rights violations, such as is about to happen at Camp Paradise, when the lives of several dozen people will essentially be dispersed, discarded, and turned into a refugee stories because Mayor Fitzmaurice isn't got the guts to stand up to the Santa Cruz Police Department or introduce changes in the sleeping ban, I should say the entire camping ordinance, as has been recommended unanimously by the city's own Homeless Issues Task Force, $10,000 Homeless Issues Task Force, after a year of intense study. So we're stuck with people who are voting the prejudices of West Side bigots or business area bigots and who just simply don't want to deal with even the realities of what the majority have to say. It's really a disgusting situation, particularly for those of us who voted twice for so-called progressives and ended up with this bag of sellouts. And that's unfortunately what we have. I don't mean to be mean and cruel to Christopher Crone and his young daughter, who he likes to carry around. Or is it his young son, anyway? His child. Crone always seems to be carrying a child around in his arms to show how touchy-feely and wonderful he is, while he supports policies that make homeless and criminalize mothers of homeless children. Thank you very much, Chris Crone, for that latest PR show. But you might actually do something, Mr. Vice Mayor, by putting yourself in a real position to say no thanks to the sleeping ban, no thanks to the camping ban. We have a shelter emergency. 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people are out there every night without any shelter, and they should not have to sleep in unsafe areas. They should be able to sleep safely in groups. They should be able to use police services. They cannot, while your, yes, Mr. Crone, your sleeping ban is in effect. And when you attempt to remove that from the agenda, for example, of the town hall meeting, which now apparently is not going to come off, but when the folks were working on a town hall meeting for this upcoming, was that this week, where all the religious leaders were going to get together and talk about issues like the sleeping ban and try to actually start doing something in terms of action as orchestrated by Michael Schmidt and others in the Monday morning group. What did Vice Mayor Crone say? If Robert Norris is a part of this, if the camping ban is on the agenda, I won't be there and we won't participate, referring to city council members. Crone, you're pathetic. You know, get some principles. You know, put on a pair of glasses and look around you, get it together. And if you have any dispute with anything I say, as always, you're invited to come on the air and to talk about it. Something that Christopher Crone has never done in 2.5 years of his being on the city council. He has never had an open forum conversation with people in a forum where he can't turn away and use his children as an excuse to block what's going on, where he can't use city council rules to avoid what's going on. He just doesn't want to do that because his arguments will not stand to the light of day. That, unfortunately, is the case. So let's get back to the farmer's market and hear a little bit more about what's going on there. We're actually going to get in some very interesting tape here because you'll be able to hear the story straight from the big nurse of the farmer's market. That is to say, Janet, she's on the board of directors, or she's an executive officer. She introduces herself and talks about why the farmer's market needs to adopt the new policies it's adopting. Stay with us, and do give a call, 427-3772, while we're on the air. You can actually reach us while this tape is being played, and we can chat with you. Or you can call us off-air at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and also that's a line for Camp Paradise, in case you want to get in touch and leave a message for the campers. So here we go again.
Year.
For free radio, your name is?
Linda.
And Linda, you are in which campsite, which area now?
I'm not in any campsite. I just read the notice.
And you're concerned about the cutbacks in the camp state parks?
I'm concerned about the homeless, yeah.
And how long you been in the area?
54 years almost.
So you pretty young looking 54, folks, but we won't get into that. undercover, maybe, who knows. So, What needs to be done? I always say lift the sleeping ban, set up campgrounds, you know, stop the profiteering, rent control. But what's your view?
That's my same view. the same
Well, it's time for us to go out and have a drink, I think, obviously. Just the two of us. I think we'll have to be talking about this. We'll have to be interviewing people. So if you're around later, I want to get a little bit more intimate and we'll talk more. We're standing in front of a stand with a clipping, Farmer's Market May Move, and we're talking to...
Janet Blazer. I'm the market manager for downtown in Live Oak.
So what's the scoop, Jen?
Well, it isn't really a scoop. We have a situation here where... Wait.
She is so self-conscious. She cuts a great figure here. So you have a situation here, you were saying.
Where there's been so many complaints from the community about the event that's created around the farmer's market that is not directly part of the farmer's market. From the city, complaints to the city, complaints to the downtown association, complaints to the parks and rec department. So we are having to toe the lines of the law about assembly on the sidewalk, about unleashed pets, about noise, all those different tiny little ordinances that are going to be thrown at the farmer's market as to you can't exist, your permit's up for renewal.
When is that going to happen?
It happens in July, in mid-July. Okay, so we're being kind of forced to be the bad guys and say, you know, the bigger fight may be freedom of speech or freedom of entertainment or it's a free country or why can't we drum or why can't we do whatever. That's a big battle. But right now the farmers market cannot wage that battle because our battle is for our survival of the right to be here. So that's what we're doing. We're asking the community, those who like to drum and see this as a community event, to please help us by abiding by the laws, by not blocking the sidewalk, by not bringing their pets in the market, by not drumming in such a way that it disturbs the peace of the neighbors, which is what's happening. We're asking for that mutual respect because right now the farmers market, don't laugh at me. There's too many friends.
You're doing great. So you were supposed to be self-conscious.
Pardon me.
You were supposed to be self-conscious, and now here you are getting very eloquent. Oh. So what's this all about?
Okay, that's what it's all about. It's
about this netting, this orange netting that's kind of walling off areas that previously were used for tables and such. What do you make of that? I mean, is that
they weren't used for tables by the market?
Not by the market, but by, let's say, individuals with tables about literature or things of that sort who use.
Well, we have a policy. We try to have a rotating schedule of nonprofits to have a table within the farmers market to distribute their literature and give information. There's a number they can call the farmers market to get on that rotation. As far as blocking the sidewalks or being blocking the sidewalks, they can't do that anywhere in the city. I mean, you know that.
The tables weren't blocking the sidewalks. They were seated before.
Space during the market from 1 to 7,
right.
The space that's now fenced off, basically, you know the market, that's our area. Those are what happens within. It's almost like it becomes private property. That's what it's almost like. It becomes private property.
But the orange fence area has nothing in it. I mean, it's being denied everyone.
Yeah, okay, it's almost like it becomes private property inside here. And the point of the market is not to provide a forum for everybody in the world. Really, the point of the market is to give farmers a chance to bring their produce, fresh produce, to the community. Okay, so that's what we're doing. And these little areas became
problematic.
They became problematic because they were unorganized, they were unruly, there was vendors without licenses, there were dogs not on leashes, there was...
Hippie types?
No, I'm not saying that. Those are your words, not mine, okay? There were activities that were not condoned by the farmers market, and they're not within the realm of what's legally allowed in the city. Not my rules, not the farmers market rules, the city's rules.
Well, I just wonder, because I used to see tablers who were doing nothing more than distribute literature and petition, and I note that there are serious restrictions now, apparently, where people can set up a table, and there's nothing there. There's no produce there, and I didn't see any disturbing behavior. It would seem to me that if there were a problem, the police could go to those individuals and say, you're violating such and such a code, and cite those persons. Are you saying that they came after the farmers market and said, we're going to hassle you for this? Is that what they were saying, the police? Or?
No, I'm not saying the police said they're going to hassle us because of that. The police are saying, and it's true, that this scene happens downtown only on Wednesday afternoons when the market's here. So there's a connection. Yeah, there's a connection.
Is that considered, in your view, or in the view of folks in the farmers market, a negative thing? Because a lot of us, I'm one of them, of course, consider it very positive, that it's sort of a draw to the farmers market rather than a detriment.
Okay. For the majority of the population, it is not a draw. There's decreased sales. There's a lot of complaints to the farmers from the regular customers. about all that activity. It is not part of the market. It is not why we are here. It does take away from the business of the market, and it gives it a different atmosphere than what we're trying to create. That's not saying good or bad. I'm not judging anybody, okay? All I'm saying is that it's taking away from the market, and we're at the point of losing our permit. Mm-hmm. So the bigger fight in this city may be the right to freedom of expression.
It's threatening to take away
your
permit.
To have the powers that be, they're not going to take it away. They're going to cite the complaints, they're going to cite the problems that there are, and the expenses that go to the city, and the time and the effort, and say it's not worth it. And we don't want to be bad neighbors. We're not here to provide a forum for everybody to exercise their freedom of speech. We are here to give the farmers a place to sell their produce, and the community a place to get their produce.
How many?
If people, now I want to talk. Okay.
Again, we're talking to
Janet Blazer, the farmers market manager. If people want to have these kind of gatherings, then let them set them up and get their own permits and do everything that we have had to do to be able to exist for 10 years in this spot. And if they want to fight the bigger issues of the rules and ordinances in the city, then do it, but please don't make the farmers market the sacrificial lamb.
So in the last month, how many complaints would you say you've had about
it? I don't know.
So you have no record of actual documentation of specific complaints?
I don't. The other organizations do.
I see. But you don't have any ballpark notion, 10, 20, 100?
Enough that we're taking these kind of serious measures.
And when was this decision taken and by what body?
When was which decision taken?
The decision to wall these areas off and to...
The farmers market is governed by a board of directors. It's mostly farmer run. Okay, on that board of directors, it's not people that don't know what's going on with
when
the farmers.
When was that decision made?
Give me a chance. Okay.
Within the last month?
It's been an ongoing problem for about 2 years, and it's come to a head in the last 2 months because our permit is up for renewal. We've had meetings with different city bodies saying, okay, let's look at this now.
Which city bodies?
With Parks and Rec, with the police department, with the downtown association, and with city council members.
Is there been a suggestion by any of these bodies that you're going to run into trouble trying to get your permits unless you take punitive action against this scene out here?
We're not taking punitive action. We're just trying...
Is walling off the area is punitive action?
I think it's preventative.
It prevents people from using public space that they previously used.
And what I've said is that from 1 to 7 on Wednesday afternoons, that space is not public space. It is private space because we basically lease it from
the
city.
But it's open to the public.
It's private space that we, the farmers market, govern.
I heard what you said.
I
disagree with you. I think it is open to the public. You cannot tell a person that can't walk through here, for example. You don't have that right. If it were private, you could do that. You cannot do that. It's open to the public.
There's specific, you know, ins and outs.
That's how it is, as far as I know.
Wait.
No offense, man.
We could say no bicycles allowed. We do say you can't bring a child in here without a diaper if they're not toilet trained. We can say no dogs because of the health regulations. We can say no handing out flyers, no handing out food stuff.
No, I don't think you could do that in a public place.
Yes, we can, because this is a special use permit.
If you do, I would be happy to go to jail to contest it, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
And I hope you don't.
So, you know what, without picking nits, the bigger issue of all that freedom for that you want, that's all fine and dandy, but do you want the farmer's market here? Then we have to abide by these rules.
Not that kind of a choice. I think you're making a false dilemma.
Not.
Are they saying if you don't restrict people in this way, they're going to drive away the farmer's market?
Our permit is in jeopardy.
You keep repeating that, but who is putting your permit in jeopardy?
I told you, Parks and Rec, the police, the city council, ultimately it goes before the city council.
They have said
they're not putting, no, you keep trying to put words in my mouth, okay? You're making conclusions from what I'm saying.
I'm asking you simple questions, and you seem to be repeating something but not telling me why your permit is in jeopardy. Are they saying, put up these fences, or we're not going to give you a permit, or is this your own decision? That's my question.
I've been a member of the media for too long. I'm not going to talk to a hostile...
I think you're not interested in answering the question.
You can think whatever you want to think.
No, let's let the people who are listening to this be the judge. You can answer it if you want. I'm not going to interrupt you if you want to... You have your opportunity to answer it.
No.
No, nobody has to talk to anybody. But you're going to have to talk to the public about why you're restricting people's access, eventually.
Which is what we're doing.
Right. And, hey, it seems obvious that, you know, We can't get straight answers.
So, I don't know why you would even come to that conclusion. I gave you as straight as answers over and over again. If people have concerns about the market, they can call me at our number.
Phone number is?
457-6759. I call back every call, if it's only the message, 457-6759. Basically, what we're asking the community to do is to support the market by helping us toe the lines that we need to right now. The bigger issues you take up with your city government, we cannot fight that fight right now. That's what I'm
saying. You are making us fight that fight with you. That's the problem.
No.
You're interjecting yourself.
Instead of respecting the position we're in as fellow community members, you're choosing to make it a fight that everybody's going to lose.
You're not clarifying why it is you feel you're in this position. You're not. You are. Hey, I read the article. You're not. If you're claiming that Parks and Rec is making you do this, that's one thing. You're not saying that. You're not saying that the police department is making you do this.
We're doing what we see is necessary.
This is a choice you're making.
Yes, it is a choice that we're making.
Okay, now then I must respectfully disagree with you.
Okay, good.
All right. Thank you. And have a good day.
Why is the farmers market walling off public space? Do you want to patronize a market that walls off space previously open for free speech activities? Ask these folks about it. They don't want to give you a straight answer. They've made decisions themselves in private, and now they have a little PR agency here that is talking about this. Can't get straight answers out of the farmers market. Maybe they shouldn't have these people on the board of directors or representing them. That's the question.
I believe you, man.
Kind of tired of the double talk here, folks. Why are spaces being walled off, previously allowed access to the public? We're being given double talk here by farmers market bureaucrats.
Because you're disturbing my peace.
Oh, be my guest.
Thank you.
Be my guest.
I've just been told that I am disturbing the peace of this woman, and she will sign a complaint against me. Love to see this in court. Please, be my guest. Free speech on a public sidewalk is now going to be the basis of a complaint from an official of the farmers market.
And on the line with us is...
Terry here in Santa Cruz.
And Terry, you've been listening to this discussion
a few years ago,
and Janet, the farmers market director.
That's the flake from the Sentinel. Janet Blazer, she used to do their food section.
Really?
In the scene aisle, yeah.
Huh.
That's where I recognize the name from it. Yeah, but okay, a few years ago over in San Jose, they were having some hassle with Valley Fair Mall and some of those. They were kicking people off their private property for distributing petitions. And the Salvation Army was another one they wanted kind of out of there because it's our land. And the judge basically told them they couldn't really stop them from doing it.
No, there's a thing called the Pruneyard decision that allows
That's another one. Bingo.
There you go. It allows people to petition and to give flyers on Safeway areas, areas that are their private property, but they're open to the public.
That's exactly it. And then there was Costco down over here a few years ago where people were registering voters down here on Herb West Boulevard.
Right.
And they tried to stop that.
Well, I know that...
Remember
the outcome of that, but I do remember that at the farmers market itself a year ago, activist Bob LaMonica, who was registering voters at perhaps around the rent control petition, he was told by Officer Jim Howes that he couldn't be there. And he said, Jim, I think you're mistaken. And he showed up, he left in, out of courtesy for the officer that one day, which I wouldn't have done.
I know, they busted Steve Bargy for distributing a newspaper, but he can operate a pirate radio station.
Right, well, you know, then he came back, Bob LaMonica came back the next day, and Howes, of course, backed up, because Bob was right, as you are right. You cannot limit people's access to public spaces in that way. You can't impose reasonable
restrictions. Unless you close it all off and say no trespassing, period, ever.
Right. I mean, there. You can reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions can be imposed, but you cannot bar the First Amendment just because it's your quote private space.
I think Costco gave in down there though. You know, people started going back and doing that. They had one run-in with them.
Well, let me manager type. Yeah, is there more you want to say on this? I'm a little bit pressed for time because I'm trying to interview someone
noon. I got stuff I got to do, man. I'll listen to what this gal has to say about San Jose, but the Prune Yard thing and the Valley Fair, yeah, I remember
those. Oh, yeah, I mean, but see, the point is that the police department, the farmers market, the local businesses, they have no problems in violating the Constitution wholesale and assuring you that it's their right to do so.
I know.
You know, it's just incredible. You know, I mean, unless you stand up to these people, you'll find yourself, you know, living under a bridge, and then you'll get arrested for sleeping. I mean, it's just...
Oh.
Anyway, I'll talk to you later.
Talk, I'll see you.
Bye-bye.
So we're going to have a little more of this tape, and then I'm going to try to get on the line. The attorney for the Camp Paradise folks, Paul Sanford, who will talk briefly about the what happened yesterday and give us a sense of what may be coming down the pike.
Because I am disturbing her peace. Whose peace is the farmer's market disturbing?
Oh.
How many people's peace is the farmer's market disturbing by fencing off areas traditionally allowed to the public? Ask yourselves that, folks, before you spend money at the farmer's market. Reasonable questions deserve reasonable answers, not police action. Because I'm not going to be quiet as long as you don't give reasonable answers.
What if we move it somewhere where we're not bugging people? Maybe we could...
It is everybody's farmer's market. Then why is this area walled off?
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Screaming and yelling about it.
Well, that seems to be the way you have to deal with it sometimes.
Well,
no, it's a substantive
issue.
That's
the way you deal with it.
Yes, it is.
We don't all agree with it.
I understand. Walled off areas at the farmer's market. Why? Ask the question, folks.
Half these people just begin to open up their minds.
You have to raise your voices sometimes to get some reasonable answers and some changes. Farmers market, folks. Suddenly it's orange mesh instead of open space. Suddenly it's police on the sidewalks and move along instead of normal activity. Suddenly it's threats from the farmers market people. Is this a community space? Or a space by a few businesses who wish to eliminate a particular lifestyle. Sure.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, Sherry.
I'm
good. Now, I've just been told by this woman here that a lot of people don't like these groups of people congregating in this way, that it disturbs the middle-class sensibilities of people who use the farmer's market. I find this hard to believe, and I don't think it's true. It obviously upsets some people's sensibilities. But is that the basis for suspending the Constitution here? This place is supposed to be open to the public, even though it's leased by a private group. That's the reality of this situation. I have been threatened with arrest for speaking as I do here. The woman standing in front of that table in the red top has threatened me with arrest for speaking about this issue. You want to patronize a market that is threatening people with arrest for speaking their minds on this issue? Now, the farmers market says it's responding to Parks and Rec and police and city council pressure. I don't care whose pressure they're responding to. They are doing the walling off. They are doing the harassment of people on the sidewalk. They are responsible for what they do. I'm trying not to. So if the police are behind this, if the Parks and Rec is behind it, then let the farmers market show some courage. Stand up and say, no, these are public areas.
So we're talking to some folks who are selling some pomegranate juice, which I've never quite ever had a taste of before. Whoa, not quite sure what to make of it. It's not like pear juice, not like peach juice, not like orange juice. But what I was asking you about was what's going on at the farmer's market in terms of this business on the sidewalk of running off counterculture people's, you know, netting off areas where people previously set up tables. It's not something that you folks support, or is it?
No, we don't.
Did the farmer's market board of directors ask you about this before they did it?
No, they didn't.
And do they offer you some written, say, are you, you know, would you like us to do this by some written survey, perhaps?
No, I don't believe they asked any of the vendors here. Not at all.
So it was sort of a unilateral decision made by a few at the top?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Of course. Is it fair to say you feel like you're being represented fairly by the board of directors here?
No, definitely not.
You want to say your names for the tape? Or?
My name's Eric.
I'm Grace.
And what stand do you represent?
Tri Weber Farms.
Wow. Well, for those of you who are boycotting the farmer's market because of this, I'd say come on in here and buy at this place at least, because it looks like we at least got some farmers who don't like the policy that the board of directors is doing. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yes, very fair.
Anything you want to add on this subject?
No, just bring them back. Let them come
Bring
in.
Them back. Let them stay.
It's our community, too. It's our community. Good.
Thank you very much. Reassuring to hear. And I'm at Bounty of the Valley Organic, trying to find out what people think about this new wall off the hippies deal that's happening on the sidewalk.
I think it's kind of scandalous.
Is it something that you want your board of directors here to be pursuing? Because apparently they're claiming that they're doing it on behalf of the farmers market.
I think that if you're a vendor and you're right next to the hippies, you definitely see damage to your business, and that is of concern to certain vendors, and, you know, that's not that fair. But on the other hand, I think that part of the community is an essential part of the market, having the drums. I don't know. I came the other week, and it's just like Babylon at the market. Cops everywhere. You couldn't even sit down. It's not the right scene.
And your name is?
Tara.
And Tara, we should say that you sell squash and garlic and beets, and your table is really the other end from where these activities usually happen.
Exactly.
As is the pomegranate stand. I've got a juice stand. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Free Radio Santa Cruz doing a survey. We're talking to Four Sisters Farm here, which sells avocados and lettuce.
No. Different specialty greens.
And flowers.
And flowers.
What about this situation with the Farmers Market Board deciding to kind of move along the hippies and wall off areas where people were tabling?
Right.
What do you think of that?
Well, it's not so much the board as it is the downtown association. And the board's kind of just the middle guy here, the messenger, if you will. We want to keep our market because it's a really successful market and it's been here for 10 years. I don't like the polarity that's happening here. It's unfortunate.
Your name is?
I'm Jill.
And Jill, you're saying that the downtown association is putting pressure on the market board? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
And what form is this pressure taking, do you know?
They're discussing moving the market or maybe yanking our permits. I'm not totally sure about exactly what they want to do, but I know they feel the market is bringing the hippies in and...
Riff-raff?
Not my words.
Now, does the Downtown Association have the power to move the market, or is this a combination?
I'm not sure. Right now, let me help my customers.
I'll let you go. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So we're talking to, what's the name of your stand here?
Karen, Lucero Organic Farm.
And you pretty much agree with the last person who spoke?
Yes, I do very much. So I wish the people of Santa Cruz could have their say. I don't think they want to see a change.
You would like to see things continue in terms of open tables and drumming and things of that sort?
Well, that's not the issue with me. The issue is that they want to change this market, and I think the people of Santa Cruz should have their say, the people that come here and shop. That might be a good idea for you to interview the people walking by you right now.
Okay,
yeah, well, I really
a couple
do.
Of the customers. Now, here are two customers who are sampling your strawberries. Free Radio Santa Cruz wonders, do you find the counterculture people in front of the farmer's market a hindrance or a distraction or a turnoff here? Or would they make you less likely to come here?
It's just fun.
It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Wouldn't put me off at all.
All these long-haired hippie types with their beards and their tape recorders.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. To each their own.
I've got long hair, too.
And attractive long hair at that, I might add.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fine, as long as no one's bothering anybody, who cares?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. You come here frequently?
Yeah.
This is the director who wants to...
Manager. No, I just don't, you know what? It's fine.
You're appearing with a private communication here.
I'm not just an overgrown man.
Well, I'm not that overgrown. I mean...
Now, what you're hearing here is Janet, the farmer's market director, intervening as I interview customers and vendors, demanding that I stop doing it. And you can't get that as clearly because she kind of stood back and she spoke quietly, but you may catch the gist, you may understand what's going on if you follow closely. And I talk about it, too, afterward.
This is the woman who wants to continue this policy.
Kind of, obnoxious one.
Well, there's a policy of driving people away who are counterculture from the sidewalk, of setting up netting so that people can't set up tables where they previously set up tables. And they're claiming that both the merchants and the customers want the counterculture people driven away because they're being bothered by them.
What do you mean by counterculture?
Well, the folks you see on that sidewalk.
Who is there?
Well, hippies, you know.
The long-haired... dirty people.
Are they selling something? Or?
On occasion,
they didn't even notice them. So there you go.
Yeah, people are aware of the menace of the hippies. Now, come on, you two. You've got to clear.
I grew up in the 60s. Come on. In San Francisco.
I was born in the 60s.
Thank you. So, gentlemen, you're standing in a forbidden zone. At least you're not behind the orange mesh netting that is being used to prevent people from set up their tables. I've actually been pursued by the head of the farmer's market today, telling me to stop talking to customers and merchants to determine if her policies have anything to do with what they want. Her policy, apparently, now is to set up this mesh, to increase police enforcement, and... She actually threatened to arrest me for making a speech on the issue a few moments ago.
Really, right now?
Yes.
She just threatened you with arrest?
Yes. Who did?
She's over.
You don't have to do anything to Columbus. You can just, if you don't...
Costner is, of course, the man who smashed the Columbus statue and seems to be proud of it.
If you
no smiling. This is the farmer's market. In my travels in the farmer's market, I've run into parliamentarian Ed Davidson, who... has advised me that perhaps it would have been harder for Mayor Fitzmaurice to eject me from the city council had I, before asking about when the public comment period was, prefaced it by saying...
You should raise a point of order, and then the proper response is for the mayor to say, what's your point of order, explain your issue, and ask for a vote of the entire council. City attorney should advise the council as to whether you have a proper point to be made, such as you're not allowing for public comment or whatever that point is. And there's no way he can avoid responding to it in conjunction with their own rules of order, which is Robert's rules. They have adopted as their system of rules.
That's not Robert Norris's rules of order, rather Robert's rules.
Well, you'll find that the Board of Supervisors uses a different set of...
Now, for those who are a little mystified by this sort of interjection, I often have interviews on different subjects running to different people at the farmer's market. That is Ed Davidson, who is a perennial and well-spoken critic of city council failure to provide affordable housing. He'll probably be at the next city council meeting in 2 days, which is coming up at... Well, there's meetings at 3. Well, there's meetings at 1:30, 3, 5, and 7 for all you city council hounds. But what he was talking about, and I'm going to say this very briefly since I know people are mainly listening to the issues around the farmer's market. I've been arrested twice at the city council in the last 3 weeks. It wasn't a custodial arrest, didn't go on my record, but I was approached by a police officer and technically put under arrest in terms of being forced to leave the chambers. And what happened was, on those two occasions, I approached the mic and essentially told the city council it was violating the Brown Act, proper process. In one case, it was allowing a city council member to attack a member of the audience by name and not giving that audience member a chance to make a brief reply, which is usually what the council is required to do. In the second case, it was when the council, under the misleadership of Emperor Tim Fitzmaurice, our Green Party guru, was proceeding to press through the entire council session without a public comment period, which is a violation, a very clear violation of the Brown Act. I simply asked him when the public comment was, and he said, step away from the mic. In essence, I won't tell you, I won't answer that question. And what Mr. Davidson was telling me was that I should have said instead, point of order, and then cited the Roberts rule of order that allowed me to do that, and then asked for a vote of the entire council on the mayor's decision to have me, to not to answer me or to have me evicted from the chamber. And that's wise advice, and for all you folks out there who are willing to stand up to city council and or need to stand up to city council because it's not allowing you even a chance to get your voice out in the prescribed manner, that's good advice. A little public service interjection into this farmers market debate, which continues, and there'll probably be some other items thrown in here too. Again, tapes from Wednesday of a few days ago at the Santa Cruz Farmers Market. You're tuned to Santa Cruz's best and freest radio station, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides. You are in touch with the robe. You may touch my robe, but you don't know get to know what's under it unless you... Well, if you give me a hug, you might get some idea. But, hey, that's up to you. In any case, so you can call in at 427-3772, 427-3772, if you want to be on the air in this discussion. We do give priority to phone calls, so we may even stop the tape if you have something you want to say. And, we'll be talking to Horsewoman, who is going to be giving us her own analysis of a number of situations, plus her own description of how she got homeless in terms of the shenanigans of her family and the public guardian over in Santa Clara County. And that's going to be coming up very shortly, plus more on Camp Paradise, plus a special report from the Santa Cruz Dominican Hospital psych ward. All this on Free Radio Santa Cruz, so stay with us.
Interesting. So, but nonetheless, proper procedure is to raise point of order, explain what your point is, and expect a proper response from the city attorney and the council to vote on the make a ruling.
I'll keep that in mind.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ed.
That's what I love about you.
Now, are you saying that the people who are standing here welcoming people to the farmers market don't like hippies?
Well, I would say that they're not really acute to our diverse culture, and they've been trying to limit and squash basically this culture that has been existing at the farmers market since I can remember.
Are you talking about this person over here in the red top?
Well, I think so, but I think there's another woman also that's been involved with this farmers market.
She has been pursuing me around the market, telling me not to talk to customers, not to
talk. Oh, that's illegal. That's completely illegal.
Because
your rights as a citizen of the United States is that you have freedom of speech.
Right. No, not in the farmer's market, you see. This is
but
her
this
zone.
Is a semi public, and they can call it private since they're renting. But
open to
with
the public.
Public and private, or semi-private, you know, you can petition.
Yeah, but they can put up a gate.
If you can
private.
Petition... No. You can petition in a mall. They found out, you know, through court cases, because people wanted to petition in public areas.
Looks like we have some media have arrived here.
Yeah.
So I guess she says they're trying to save the farmers' market.
Oh, I know.
Right. But
what I think is that
hippies,
you need
right?
to you need to embrace the future instead of getting stuck on the past. Granted, 10 years ago, this was a good spot for this. I think after 10 years, there's more farmers, there's more people. You need to find a more viable spot to do this.
Well, they want
to
move, but that's
the only reason. The only thing is marketability, and that's why they're doing it. It's just because of marketing reasons.
It's a matter of simple bigotry against people like
no,
this.
Where do
it's
they marketing. Want to move it?
They want a spot. Location, location, location.
Man, I'm confused by two different issues.
No, we're not moving, don't worry, is the, you know, is apparently the message of some of these folks.
Well, I could care less where the farmer's market is.
You see, here she is talking to a police officer.
Okay.
Because she is, in the past, she's threatened to, she doesn't
this
like...
This is another issue.
Yeah.
I don't care where the farmer's market goes. I could care less.
Right.
But we still, no matter where the farmer's market goes, need to have our voices, need to have our petition papers and our flyers,
right,
because this is a public venue.
Right.
And this is the freedom of the United States Constitution.
Right. But not according to this woman over here.
Well, she's wrong. She needs to be corrected. And if the officer finds out that she's right, then we need to take this to City Hall again. And if City, well, forget City Hall. They can take it to court.
Right.
Okay? And, you know, I mean, if nobody's being harassed here. It's just the fact that people are using loud voices and, you know, talking to about things,
right,
you know? And they shouldn't be offended or scared by that.
Right.
Because this is who we are as human beings, to be very open and loud, you know, and be heard,
right,
especially when things are not going well.
Well, I'm concerned about things like this mesh here, like this walling.
Well, the mesh was basically a ploy. They say people were stepping on dog poop, farmers are stepping on dog poop, and bad things were going on. People were putting their cigarette butts out. But actually, it was to keep people from sitting on the earth.
Or from tabling, I think it was.
Tabling, too. But you could table pretty much in tight spots. But they're going to try to limit that, too. But this is actually just to tell people, we do not want your culture hanging out and not buying things.
Right.
That's what this fence is all about.
Right.
Okay? We have a place for the bicycles, but all you hanging out hippies have to go somewhere else.
Right.
That's what the fence is all about.
Now, she claims...
I mean, she doesn't... She can claim whatever she wants. We know why they put it there. Because they hate these people sitting on the ground. Then they put a little thing down, and they might sell their jewelry. That offends them because they're not making money off of them. These people who have very little income, they're not making capital off of them. Because this is what this is. They're making capital off farmers selling their goods. So this is what they do to make sure that their farmers, customers, make sure they're happy all the time.
Now wait a minute, what did surprise you to know that the customers and the farmers market people don't support this policy that the farmers market board has of walling this up?
I thought that was
asking questions.
Closed door thing.
Right.
And I thought that it was very elitist of them to do that. And I thought it was coming from a small group of people who think they have the right to take rights away from people in a public place, which angers people like me and you.
Gotta love you.
Gotta love you.
Hey, thank you, bro. Thank
and
you.
I know the reality of the situation. I hope people hear and understand the reality of the situation, you know, and do something about it, because people like you are constantly doing something about it. I love you for that.
Well, thank you. And so are you, Chris.
You know, you were here 5 years ago, and you say we had a similar situation develop, and you were on the board?
It was at a time when the Downtown Association
this
was running
Sherry
the market,
Connable
and they
speaking.
Decided to give it up, that they didn't want to do it anymore. And they assumed that that would mean the market would just shut down and go away. And instead, the farmers organized and decided that they wanted to become a nonprofit and run it themselves with a board of directors. And the police, particularly, I think... Mr. Belcher, but I'm not totally sure. But the police and
flowers and candy
and David Plumley, and at the time I think some of the people at Spokesman were also involved, mounted a big effort that no permit would be issued and the market shouldn't be here. The arguments were virtually the same as the ones that appeared in the recent Sentinel article. The quotes were almost the same. It was the same issues. They didn't like the people. There were too many. It was just threatening. It's
the same old story. Yeah. SOS.
Yeah.
where is the pressure coming from? I've talked to merchants, I've talked to customers, and I'm not talking about counterculture customers, I'm talking about ordinary middle-class people. They're fine with the people here, you know. Where is it? Aha, by order of environmental health, here's a sign posted, no animals are permitted in the farmer's market, no live animals, birds or fowl, except for some of the fowl attitudes I see with the bureaucrats. are kept or allowed within 20 feet of anywhere food is stored and so forth.
I talked to Catherine Byers, who I guess who has rejoined the board as a sort of emergency member. She was on the board for a long time and actually was a key person in defending, you know, the market being here in the first place when that transition occurred. And she said that the pressure really is coming from the police and from this particular business owner, a little bit from the church, but that it's not coming from the farmers, that they want to be here, they want the market to be here. I just suggested to Catherine and the new director, the interim director,
that the woman in the red top,
Janet.
Yeah, Janet.
I just suggested that they bring 3 or 4 of the Rainbow Tribe kids to the table and talk to them and make them a part of the discussion.
Seems reasonable.
And that they, I think, would, you know, welcome that and be willing to hear what the market needs from them in order to coexist peacefully and make it work for everybody. And I think there's probably a little give and take on each side that could happen, rather than have this be another situation where they're sort of trying to exclude or give rules to other people. I don't know if they'll you know.
It's a little too reasonable, Sherry, don't you think?
Well, you know, it's a good way to do things. You know, I mean, I've heard some people who are actually very sort of alternative and politically radical who say that, you know, they think there are some adjustments the Rainbow Tribe kids could make to make it work better, that they do block the sidewalk sometimes by crowding, and that's
not... I see Sergeant Butchie Baker across the street. Watch out.
Great thing. And that they feel that someone in particular suggested that if they want to vend their wares here, like their crystals and their incense and sage and stuff, that they should pay a small fee to the market for that privilege, like $5 or $10, and then they could set up for the day. And just so there was a little more sense of give and take. And I think those are reasonable suggestions. You know, and I think rather than do this, we can't talk to these people. I know 3 or 4 of the Rainbow kids who are sort of leaders. I mean, they're a leaderless group, but there's certain people who have respect, who could sit down, talk about what's needed, and go back to them and say, look, this is what they need from us.
Thank you, Sherry.
And that was Sherry Connable and Farmers Market interviews last Wednesday, trying to get to the bottom of who's behind new policies involving police harassment of counterculture people along the sidewalk, directing people they can't use previously open spaces to set up small political tables that do not block the sidewalk, or even register voters at those tables, as has been done before. Actually, interfering with registering voters is a federal offense and a felony, but I don't know who's going to arrest Vice Chief Locke or Chief Belcher for a conspiracy to destroy those rights. It sure as hell isn't going to be the city attorney, I can tell you that. That's John Barisoni, the man who, you know, is in their pocket, it seems. That's an unfortunate situation. You know, I think what might be good to do, though, is here we have Janet, the executive director of the Farmers Market, apparently gave her number for us to call. So we're going to call Janet right now and ask her on the air if she can clarify just what the policy is regarding the Farmers Market, let's say policy of flyering. Is she going to arrest individuals that, say, give out political flyers who walk through the market? First, we have this incoming call.
Radio. Up.
That looks like the caller hung up. Let's see if we can get the word from Janet herself, if she's home and if she is answering the phone. And let's give her a call here. And we've dialed the number. Let's see if we can get through to Janet.
Hello, you've reached the number for the Santa Cruz Community Farmers Market, held downtown Santa Cruz every Wednesday from 2:30 to 6:30, and also the number for the East Cliff Farmers Market, scheduled to begin again in mid-June. I'm sorry we missed your call, but if you'll leave a message, we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Leave the time and day and a contact number. Thank you very much.
Hi, Janet. This is Robert of Free Radio Santa Cruz calling in. Actually, we're calling you live from our show, hoping we could talk to you on the air. We've just played the tapes of the interactions at last Wednesday's Farmers Market, and we thought perhaps you could sort of enlighten us as to the current policies regarding flyering in the Farmers Market. Is the Farmers Market going to arrest someone for giving out flyers as they walk about sampling the grapefruits and strawberries? Give us a call back at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I know you pride yourself on returning every call. We're expecting to hear back from you. If you want to tune in on the show next Thursday, it's from 6 to 8 in the evening on 96.3 FM, or if you want to catch me off times, my number is also the Huff line, 423-4833. Thanks, and have a good day. And that was our attempt to get through to that ever-accessible Farmers Market Executive Director, Janet. We'll see if she actually calls back.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert?
Yes,
good,
Bob.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bob.
I'd like to talk rationally about the issue of drummers at the Farmers Market.
How about repressing political free speech at the Farmers Market?
Well, no, that's what I'd like to discuss.
Okay.
Can we distinguish between drumming and political freedom of speech? And I think that we must. I think that there is a point of view that's rational that says that incessant, and that's my phrase, incessant drumming is a nuisance and is noise pollution and is noisome and is bothersome and doesn't communicate anything of remote political interest except that there are people that think that it's their right to disturb others. Now, it might be the right and necessity in a republic to be able to petition for a redress of grievances.
Might or is?
Is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I really question whether that includes drumming to the point where it drowns out conversation. Now, I happen to be nearby, in fact, going to China Sichuan a few weeks ago when the drumming was occurring. And it was it was very noisome, and it certainly kept me and my wife away from the farmers market. I will say that. In order to go to the farmers market, it would have meant tolerating that, speaking over it, and in a sense, either speaking out against it or acknowledging it and accepting it. So the best option for us became we're just going to stay away from it. But it was noisome and bothersome until we got inside the restaurant where it was soundproofed enough to keep the noise out. I can understand the point of view that says that drumming does not qualify for political freedom of speech. It's simply someone trying to push their way onto others.
What about the other issues, like walling off the areas where there were tables, going after people for having dogs, for sitting around, let's say, with some of their jewelry.
Well, let's separate them. Tables, dogs, and then there are people that want to sell their wares.
Or just display them.
Okay, display their wares. Now, the first thing, the tabling, if we're going to call that political tabling, which for the most part it does qualify as political tabling. In fact, SCAN has operated out there. All right. And I would be among the first to stand up for that. All right, political freedom of speech.
Giving out flyers?
Absolutely. This is traditional political freedom of speech. Goes back years. Okay. Now, when you talk about dogs, I think there's an issue there with dogs being on a leash and also...
How about no dogs? Because they're saying no dogs in the farmer's market.
I would say that I would agree with that, okay, with the amount of people that there are. That's not unreasonable. That if you want to go into the into the area where there is food and crowds.
Well, how about that new sign they've got posted? No dogs, hippies, or dreadheads. No, just kidding. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Bob.
Okay. So that might be. You know, I could go either way on the dog issue. Maybe if the dogs were on a leash. But the problem is you got crowds of people, and you got dogs, and you know it's difficult. We have accepted now that dogs have to be on a leash, and I think that's agreeable.
So it's okay to have dogs and crowds of people on Pacific Avenue if they're by middle-class people. Of course, if they're on hippies, they're not allowed, you know, unless they're being carried in their arms.
You can't have a dog at all on Pacific Avenue, if I'm
right,
correct.
No. Well, that is the law. Not even on a leash. But let's say, I don't know.
So things have changed in that direction. People have gotten uptight about a lot of things now, they've gotten uptight reasonably so about being bitten.
Not so much in Santa Cruz. I haven't seen that. I mean, I know that's happening in other cities with pit bulls, you know, and things of that sort.
What's happened in Santa Cruz that would be typical would be people are they don't want to be bothered by anything. All right.
Right.
And I would say that's their right to the point where you're stopping political freedom of speech from happening. You have the right guaranteed, and it should be guaranteed, and it should be backed up by force to petition for a redress of grievances.
What about the right to ask for a dime? in a peaceful manner?
In my opinion, I can see where it needs to be tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
I cannot, in the general sense, Robert, where I see we're heading societally is we're heading down a rather abrupt, two-tiered system where you're a property owner and you have money and or you're a subsidized worker and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we have become very intolerant of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to see things.
Mm-hmm.
I will stand up for you and by you on a lot of instances. People forget that you were the person that that challenged the sitting law. And I think it was the Tom Scribner statue that you were leaning against that they gave you a ticket 4 years ago.
Actually, it was 2 years ago, and it was the conduct on public property ordinance, which is still in force, but they had to pull back on that ticket. I was sitting on the base of the Tom Scribner statue in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz, and a sergeant told me I had to get up, and I said, no, I don't.
Well, it's sad but true that these things are, what's the phrase, not double standard, but selectively enforced.
Right.
It's no question about it.
Well, it's not just that. It's just that they shouldn't have them at all. It is an attempt to stop people from using public areas and spaces in an appropriate and reasonable manner because they don't like the kinds of people who are most likely to use them.
Yes.
Older residents of the hotels, hippies, poor people, homeless people, you name it.
I have seen people, well-dressed people, sitting on the sidewalk on Pacific Avenue, and they were not harassed.
Right.
There's no question these things are selectively enforced. What is happening is that people become frightened. They become frightened of skateboarders. They become frightened of people that look disheveled.
Mm-hmm. Instead of becoming frightened of the city council and the police, unfortunately.
Well, no, they become frightened of the city council not reacting to their trees being preserved, okay?
Mm.
Rather than the city council not reacting to the needs of people that are either houseless or verging on houseless.
Well, ironically, the people who want to save trees, and I'm among them, by the way, are often, you know, they are often, they're activists who were the people who wanted to save Lighthouse Field 25 years ago. Even Catherine Byers wanted to save Lighthouse Field.
You know,
Bruce Van Allen, Mike Rutkin, all these former people who were the big Lighthouse Field advocates.
And rent control.
Yeah, and we're talking about rent control, of course.
Bruce Van Allen, Celia Scott were proponents of rent control 20 years
and
ago.
And in a kind of a traditional transformation, they became right-wing. They became conservative. They became part of the establishment. And, you know, in a way, you can't blame them because most of us who are, you know, radical in our youths, with some exceptions, hello, hello, you know, like me, tend to go to the right. And perhaps that's a natural process, and we need a new class of people, a new generation to pick up the torch. You know?
Well, I would say, Robert, that if something is true, it's true when you're 50, just as well as it's true when you're 25.
Well, remember what they say. If you're not a socialist at 30, then you haven't got a heart. But if you're a socialist at 40, then you haven't got a head, is what some of these right-wingers like to tell us.
If you're into fad politics, well, then it's not true. It's just a fad.
Mm-hmm.
But if an issue is true and meritorious, if rent control was true in 1980, it's true in 2001.
Much truer, actually, given the circumstances.
So to me, that's a bunch of, forgive my language, BS.
Are you saying bullshit on the air? I'm ashamed of you, Uncle Bob. All right, you better keep a civil tongue in your head.
I'm saying that those people, those folks that made their political careers on being bold and courageous 20 years ago ought to be ashamed of themselves as they ride on their laurels and go to the next wine and cheese function on the West Side.
Or at least they should admit they're changing their whole perspective.
But just to come back to the farmers market situation, I think it's important, in my opinion, that we distinguish between political freedom of speech, and noisome behavior.
Well, there are ordinances for dealing with drummers. You know, if a drumming is above a certain decibel level, and it actually constitutes a form of noise pollution, and there are ways of going about abating that.
Why didn't they pass out disturbing the peace tickets?
Probably because the drumming was not sufficiently loud to do that. But I don't know. I mean, again, I guess different people have, you know, different levels
maybe
of tolerance.
Nobody complained.
I mean, also the drumming is something, you know, I'd say 3 or 4 hours of drumming on a Wednesday afternoon is, to me, and again, I'm not there. I don't have to be, you know, at a store, so I'm not, you know, in the position you were in where you felt you had to go inside a restaurant to get away from it. It seems to me not such a big deal. I mean, they have these tuba players that they pay downtown who make lots of noise at different times and play traditional old-time tunes that I don't particularly like, but that doesn't mean I move in and try to get them all arrested, you know, or removed.
Events. Now, one other thing about the drumming.
Yeah.
If you were trying to table doing petitioning during that drumming, you'd have no chance at all. It would have drowned you out.
Well, you know, I don't know if that's true, Bob, because I know that, well, you've been down there tabling, and weren't they drumming like a year or two ago when you were down there?
No, nothing like that. The drumming wouldn't start until maybe almost 7 o'clock. In fact, this would have been,
you know, and
two years ago.
Right, that's when you were doing that. But I mean, all right, but I don't think tablers objected, though. I'm not saying people don't object. You obviously are a case in point, and I'm not trying to belittle your concerns. But I think that, you know, if people actually brought these concerns to the drummers, say, passed them a note and said, could we have a 15-minute hiatus here? We need to be able to think. I mean, if there were some reasonable dickering and negotiating, you don't need to, you know, bring on the hardline Sergeant Butchie Baker and his ticket book and his, you know, throw Jen Curry into the police car and off to the jail with her for riding a bike the wrong way on Pacific Avenue so that she suffers injuries. Sergeant Baker has never quite explained that one, and that actually, I think she recently had to do a plea on that one. But the point is, I think there are better ways to deal with this than, you know, a kind of a hardline Gestapo approach.
Well, in that it hasn't been discovered yet whether there were any complaints. Apparently, I'll just say apparently, no one complained.
Well, you had a complaint, perhaps.
Well, I didn't make a formal complaint.
Right, but you had one, you know.
Okay. I would accuse the drummer community of selfishness.
Uh-huh.
And I would also accuse those that might be what's reasonable types, which I would like to include myself in that community, of quite often we don't like to make complaints because we don't like to put the finger on somebody. Mm-hmm. But if you've ever lived in the neighborhood of an unruly neighbor, of a loud neighbor, the only recourse you have is to file a formal complaint.
No, there's a middle way. You can, and what we need,
yeah,
of course, you can go to the person. You can say, excuse me.
You know, and if the person shuts the door in your face, right?
Well, if that then you've gone to the person.
What happens, though, is that people don't even like to do that.
I know they don't.
And they certainly don't like to go
right
to the cops.
Right. Well,
when you go to the cops, it means there's really no chance of any kind of neighborliness.
I suggested this.
It's difficult.
I suggested this years ago when Catherine Byers came up with her ill-fated happy hosts proposal, which are actually the para-police with smiles glued on their face that wander around in their purple uniforms. I suggested instead of having a bunch of snitches in uniform running around, you know, busting people for sitting on the sidewalk, they don't actually do the bust, it's the police that they call the police, and small marijuana deals, I suggested that there be a real effort to do the kind of conflict resolution and mediation that people like Scott Kennedy are always babbling about, but never actually do anything about, never actually put any city funding into. And we actually had a $10,000 funding discussion where two mediators went to all the different groups to look for an alternative to these absurd and discriminatory and selectively enforced downtown ordinances, like sit on the sidewalk, go to jail, ask for a dime after dark, go to jail, all this crap which Kennedy brought in 1994 when he was guided by Leask's Market, or whatever the hell it is, guided by Plumlee, mayor, you know.
Well,
and so, you know, but we didn't get that. I don't see why we can't use that as our middle ground. You
this
know?
Is Santa Cruz politics at its worst. It's like they had a meeting recently about a plaza downtown.
Yeah, right.
That was stacked by business owners, and that it was mainly used as a rant to actually derail any honest dialogue on the issue. So what quite often happens in our fair community is that we don't have honest dialogue on issues.
Well, what you have is you have this notion that somehow you can get all the votes lined up in secret and you can just proceed. That's what our great columnist in the Metro, Bruce Bratton, or Bruce Bratt, as I like to call him, proceed with. He somehow believes if you only kiss enough ass at the city council, you'll get your proposal through. But the reality is, and it's always been the case, you must mobilize the community on basic issues, even on something like a plaza, which was supposed to be a done deal. And only recently have we seen Bratton resigning his positions and saying, the council is full of hot air. My goodness. He finally, you know, is the light of truth begins to gleam in his eyes after 2.5 years, but of course only on his pet issue. So I don't know.
Well, last time you and I met with Donna Dice, or the three of us were hanging out together.
Tenants' Rights
ago,
Union, yeah.
As I left, I said that we can all go to our graves knowing that we did the right thing.
Right. How exciting.
And I believe that because I'll tell you, you know, I think a classic example in Santa Cruz is the Homeless Issues Task Force, which you've raised on your show.
Yeah.
And the main function of that Homeless Issues Task Force was to drain activist energy and to spin issues out.
Yeah.
Because their conclusions were that the sleeping ban should be dumped.
rent control should be instituted.
Rent control should be instituted.
And more and other
and,
deals.
And it is. It almost makes me want to weep at the double standard, two faced,
right,
cowardice of people that want to be taken seriously as so called leaders in a town that likes to be called progressive.
Well, it is true, Bob, that these, all these actions, all these homeless issues task force reports and so forth, do present a significant body of evidence that, for example, in the current Camp Paradise controversy, can come into play. And we actually have an attorney, some folks have read a rather distorted account of Paul Sanford's involvement with the Camp Paradise in today's San Francisco, or Santa Cruz County Urinal, also known as the Sentinel.
Well,
you know,
let me get off the air with one comment.
Right.
I have said on your show that I don't think that Camp Paradise should be allowed. They should dismantle
it. You curmudgeon.
Okay, but they should, and what should have happened long ago is a low-income campground should be formally instituted within the jurisdiction of Santa Cruz.
The sooner the better. Actually, there was one once.
If this is used as a wedge for that, well, then all more and good. But that cannot be. You cannot legally embrace a squat. You can't.
Mm. It's not a squat. It is people camping. They're not trying. They're not claiming they own the property. Squatters claim they own the property.
Yeah, they want to pay rent on Greenbelt. You can't do that.
No,
Robert.
They're willing. It's not Greenbelt. They don't. They don't want to pay rent on it. They're willing to pay any expenses, and they're looking. They said they'll pay $2,000 to rent any piece of property in town where they can go.
Okay. Well, then the logical step is to move into a sanctioned
you got it.
Campground.
That's what Attorney Sanford is looking for.
That takes politicians with initiative and leadership and courage. And then we're not talking about Santa Cruz in 2001.
Well, it takes a community activist who are willing to make it so hot for them and the merchants that the politicians have to do something. And that's, I think, what we're trying to do at Camp Paradise.
I'll listen on the air. Robert, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, you bet.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Lines are open, 427-3772.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. This is Leela, who called last week from Dominican Mental Health Unit.
I remember you, Leela. How's everything going? Are they still doping everybody up there and giving you no choices?
Yes, they're forcing everybody to take all kinds of things, that do all kinds of weird things to you.
Uh-huh.
That's not just your head.
Now, what's your situation? You're being held there on your conservator?
Because I have a conservator. My conservator and the doctor agreed that I need to be here,
mm-hmm.
which to me, I'm just wasting my life away.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting a lot of good ideas since there's not much to do but think,
Before,
and I try to think good thoughts.
Now, why are you being held? There are three standards for holding someone in a hospital: gravely disabled, a danger to self, or danger to others. Which are you about to kill someone? Are you about to kill yourself? Are you about to collapse on the street because you can't eat? What's the story?
Really, I don't know. When you're conserved, they really don't give you any information. They just tell you where you're going next and what you have to take. And I'm being required to sit in a chair for an hour after I take my medication three times a day because they caught me cheating or...
You didn't take your meds? You didn't take your meds.
I was only trying to save myself. But I wanted to talk a little bit about PIRC, which is PIRC, Psychiatric Inmates' Rights Collective.
Uh-huh.
And we're a small group of people here in Santa Cruz that are related to other psychiatric inmates' rights collectives around the country. And we help people with their basic human needs while they're inmates in psychiatric facilities, and if you want to learn more about it or make a donation, you can call Jane at 475-7904, and I must say any kind of support or donations to help people, for instance, there's people that are brought in without shoes, and Jane kind of
sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure.